We have been talking about emotional attachments. And I'm telling you, if you get this in your spirit, you get freed up from a lot of stuff. One of the things that prevent us from going forward is our limited belief system. And that's associated with your self-image. And in this, we want to get the self-image that God has given us and loose us from the self-image of the devil. Why? Because you were born in darkness and there's a self-image that's been imparted in you. And there are many things that have caused this self-image in your life since you've been a child. Circumstances and events and things that have gone on in your life. Did you ever have anybody tell you you'll never amount to anything? You know that that imparted a self-image. That every time something was getting ready to succeed or be successful, they couldn't go any further because they actually believed that they would never amount to anything. Until that self-image is changed into the image and likeness of Christ, we are limited of where we can go. I want to share something very important today. God said that I have come to bring you life and life abundantly. But the devil has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, if he has got abundant for me and you, one of the problems of the self-image, which is a messed up belief system, until we get the image and likeness of Christ more and more, is that your capacity to receive. See, that belief system and that self-image, that limited belief system, and that self-image that has been portrayed by darkness into our lives has limited us from receiving the things from God. Do y'all understand that? Because there are things God is trying to get to us, and we're saying, oh, Lord, what's up? Why haven't you released these? And some things he's released, but you can't receive. Because you actually are convinced that for some people, some people are convinced that healing is for everybody but them. Hello? Some people are convinced that other things are for other people but not them because of their limited belief system. Are you with me? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Is everybody there? Luke chapter 8. You know, some people in this arena are so, because it's a limited belief system, which established with the self-image of darkness, it prevents them to want to have a desire to change. Because it promotes a false security and false comfort. Yet, they're insecure. But it produces an insecurity. But it portrays a false security and false comfort where they're not willing to change. See, but if you're willing to change, something that's been sleeping in you awakens. That's why you must be willing to change. Oh, hallelujah. And Luke 8, in verse 9. Then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables. Whoa. So God was allowing them to have understanding. Seeing they what? They may not see. And hearing they may not understand. So even though that they're seeing, they can't really see. Even though they're hearing, they can't really hear. And he goes and he begins to explain this to them. Keep going. He said, now the parable of this, the seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and what? Takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe. And be what? Saved. So there's something wrong with their belief system. Are you hearing this? What's wrong with it? There are emotional attachments that are preventing them. There's a wrong belief system somewhere along this line. Come on, keep going with me. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have what? No root, but believe for a while. So there's still something wrong with the belief system. They believe for a while, right? And in time of temptation, they what? They fall away. Come on, keep going. Now the ones that fall among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are what? Choke with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Those are emotional attachments. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. In other words, what you believe is what you perceive. Do you understand that? So remember, we talked about feelings as an expression of what perceiving something. That's why God is trying to get us out of the emotional arena. Now, there are healthy and unhealthy emotions. Amen? And there are healthy and unhealthy emotional attachments. And we've talked about these things. But Jesus was saying right here, he says, man, some of them are going to see and not see. Some of them are going to hear and not hear. Why? Because of emotional attachments that do what? They choke. They allow stealing. You know, emotions speak too, don't they? They have a voice. Now, seeing, they can't see the truth. Hearing, they can't understand the truth. Because they can't interpret it correctly. Why can't they interpret it correctly? Because of their belief system. Emotional attachments to worldliness. And everybody knows about worldliness. People have emotional attachments to worldliness. That's why there's false comforts, isn't there? That's amazing. When somebody gets frustrated, upset, offended, where do they run to? Most of the time back to the world. Because of the what? The false security, the false comfort. If people would run to the throne room more instead of the phone, hello, they would find more victory. But good ground is an area where that's humble and trusting. It's a receptive heart. And when a believer is taught it, he not only keeps it, but he begins to practice it. See, it takes practice. We had a lot of practice for the things of going to hell. Now we need to do a lot of practice for the things of getting to heaven and having victory as a warrior of Christ. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, would you read it with me? 1 Timothy chapter 6. You know, when you begin to recognize these emotional attachments and begin to sever these things out of your life, you're going to find so much more freedom. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Amen? Now, I want you to understand that the love of money is associated with an emotional attachment. It's an emotional attachment. Why? Because it produces a false security. Money will not buy happiness. Because even those who have a love of money so greatly, they're willing to take great risks for money. And because they love money, they pursue it in an area where it's going to bring them fulfillment. But it is false security and false comfort. Then they walk in fear of losing the money. It is an unhealthy emotional attachment. In fact, it's one of the greatest unhealthy emotional attachments there is. And that's how the enemy uses man and uses money to bait humans. That's why people, you know, when you're really seeking God and you're asking for his counsel, correction, and direction. Now, the Bible already says that he knows what you need. Amen. But it says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So this will allow you to have discernment. See, but emotional attachments, unhealthy emotional attachments, will cause an individual to make wrong decisions. It causes an individual, let me tell you some of the decisions. They marry the wrong person. They accept the wrong job. They purchase the wrong car. I mean, and then, you know, but when it happens, they go, oh, the Lord bless me. Man, you talk to them 2 months later. What a lemon this car is. Oh, why did I ever marry this person? Oh, this job. The money's not worth it. Hello? Because of the emotional attachment of false security. People have a tendency that money is going to do everything. The love of money. Amen? See, but when you're truly in the Spirit and you're walking in the kingdom of God, you are not moved by emotion. Remember Jesus, when how he was on the earth, he was not moved by emotion. I love that story with Lazarus. You know, I mean, it was supposedly be his good friend, right? And they came and told him he was sick, so he waited 2 more days ago. I love it. No emotional attachments. 4 days. Then he went and raised him out of the dead. You know, all things are possible to those who believe. See, so you've got to have that belief system that's according to Christ, where all things are possible. Why? Because behind every circumstance is a what? Favor of God. All things are possible to those who believe. Well, then why aren't things possible? Why do people get all freaky and make wrong decisions? Because their belief system is hindered by emotional attachments and is promoting the wrong self-image. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. Behind all of these unhealthy emotions is the prince of unhealthy emotions. Fear. Fear is behind. Why? Because Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. Fear. Fear will grip a person. Fear will cause anxiety. Fear will cause a person to choke them. And that's just nothing but a demon. Fear. Fear brings bondage and enslaves a person from pursuing the truth and fulfilling the call and destiny of God. Fear. Now, he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Again, too many make wrong decisions made by unhealthy emotional attachments. One of the things that these emotional attachments do is they cause a person to move out of God's time. They can't wait. I got to have it now. If I don't get it now, that's it, I'm quitting. They try to challenge God in these areas. And they'll lose. Moving out of God's timing. How many of y'all know anxiety is an emotional attachment? Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 4? 1 John chapter 4. Now this is the fourth CD of the series, so you can get the other three CDs to try and catch up what we're trying to do here, bring it across. I mean, you know, greed is a killer. It's emotional attachment. Greed. greed, covetousness. And the Bible says that all of these things will not allow us to inherit the kingdom of God. It's not only talking about in going to heaven, but it's talking about inheriting the things of the kingdom of God right here on earth. They will prevent us from walking in the fullness. Why? Because it promotes the wrong self-image. You know, how you see Christ in you, how you see Christ in you determines in how you live on this earth. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 16. As we have known and believed that the love of that God has for us, God is what? Love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now I want you to say something very powerful. I am because he is. I am because he is. Well, don't forget that. We'll pick this up in a minute. So we see here that he's talking about a love, he said, God's love. Now go to verse 18. There is what? No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he what? First loved us. So that's a choice. That's a choice. Now, I want you to understand that this type of love is not an emotion. It's a choice. But there is a love. When you say you love someone, it's because there is a choice. Are you with me? It's a choice. What? In this love, it says that God loved the world that he what? Gave. Love always has to do with giving. Giving of what? Yourself. Amen. So you're showing love, aren't you? By what? Giving of yourself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So love is associated with giving. It's associated with denying yourself. Love is a choice. Now, the love of money is lust. Lust can't let go. Love will. That's why people have a lust affair. When somebody says, oh, it was love at first sight. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was lust at first sight. Love. So we see that God is love, the devil is fear. God is love, the devil is fear. Those are the sources, aren't they? God is not lust. Right? God is not lust, he is love. Now, there is a fear or reverence of God, and I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to. There is a reverence and a fear of God that can only be established with an experience or revelation. That's why so many people are out worshiping God, but they really don't worship him. They don't worship him. Because the word love or fear of God, the reverence of God, is associated with holy. Is associated with what? Holiness. See, when that experience happens and that touch comes, when you worship God, you are worshiping him because he is holy. He's what? Holy. See, holy is expounded eternally. Holy has to do with God's love, God's judgment, God's wrath, God's everything. It's whole. He's holy. Because of unhealthy emotional attachments in the wrong self-image, it prevents an individual from getting into that place. Believers 30 and 40 years that have never really worshipped God, because they've never reverenced him in a holy place as holy. Are you understanding that? See, when you sing, see, the angels don't say anything. They sing what? Holy. Why? Because they acknowledge Him. He is holy. That's why the Bible says, "For I am holy, you be holy." In this, He's sharing with us that that is a fear of God. That is the reverence and the highest reverence of God is to have a revelation of the holiness of who He is. That's who God is. God is holy. The ultimate highest word that can ever be portrayed. And with that word, the name Jesus has given you and I all the authority in all the universe. Holy. See, that's got to happen. But these unhealthy emotional attachments to unlimited belief systems prevent an individual because they have a self-image that will not allow them to reach this plateau which God so desires His children to come to, where they acknowledge Him in the reverence of that He is holy. That begins. That's the beginning of the change of your self-image. When you get to that place, you know that He is holy. Oh, glory. Well, I must have went there for a reason. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody again say, I am. Because He is. I am because He is. Now, we're going to talk a little bit. Every thought has an image. Every image has a feeling. Every feeling has an emotion. And every emotion has a habit. Right? There are healthy and unhealthy emotional attachments that are associated with our belief system. Everybody agrees upon it. This belief system is either portraying the self-image of Christ as a new creation or the self-image of Antichrist. What do you mean? I'm not an Antichrist. Your belief system, let me share something with you. Doubt is sin. So your belief system must change. We are the offsprings of the I Am. Aren't we? Are you an offspring of the I Am? Hallelujah. I am too. But we are either responding according to the new man or what? Reacting according to the old man. Again, there are three areas that have influenced our belief system and an established emotional attachment, and that is associated with people, places, and things. Right? Every event, every circumstance or situation or experience of your life has played a part of your self-image from the time you were born. People, places, and things. Every event. Now, thoughts are what you hear, right? Images are what you see. Feelings are what you perceive. Emotions are responses to your feelings, and habits are reactions to the self-image influenced by emotional attachments. Exposure to releasing unhealthy emotional attachments is established by asking yourself, according to your reaction in a circumstance, who told me that, and where did you come from? Come on, say it. Who told me that, and where did you come from? Open doors by abuse, trauma, mistrust, and deception are fear, rejection, and what? Regret. We've talked about these already. But what caused the open doors? How come there's the three major open doors are what? Fear, rejection, and what? Regret. Those are three major areas in our life that are unhealthy emotional attachments. Are you with me? Now, how were they established? By abuse? By a trauma? By mistrust or by deception? I want to share a couple. I want to give you a little bit of an example here. People in your life, right? It could be family relatives, authority figures, relationships. And I'm going to hand you a sheet that you can take home. We've got all kinds of stuff on here. Relationships, spouses, children, heroes, classmates, coaches, clergy, neighbors, friendships, business partners, deceased loved ones, co-workers, sporting teammates, abusers, accusers, offenders, illegal associates, sex partners, addiction partners, even doctors, police, firemen, whatever, spoken words over your life, judges, attorneys, whatever. Some of these people have influenced you in some way, whether they portrayed a self-image of Christ or a self-image of Antichrist. People, places, and things. Places, environment, where you grew up, right? Some areas, weather affected people. Caused traumas. Man, if you lived in Buffalo, New York, there was a lot of them. I mean, we used to have to go out the window when the snow hit. And I'm not talking first floor. Your neighbors, right? Your neighborhoods, schools, beaches, buildings, homes, playgrounds, parking lots, nightclubs, hotels, bathrooms, churches, workplaces, hospitals, funeral parlors, there's many places that have influenced your self-image where an event has happened. Things, objects of abuse. A letter you got, written letters. A mirror, a book, a belt, a knife, a gun, picture. I'm telling you what, you'd have an influence of a self-image if somebody pulled a knife on you or a gun on you. You know, that would be hindering, wouldn't it? In fact, there are things that, remember, the enemy's always trying to turn something good to bad. Amen? Bicycles, jewelry, all of these things can, I don't like to use the word trigger, but it can trigger something to where you are seeing the old self-image. Now, would you turn to Psalm 139? If you were a child where family was constantly trying to survive on food, and you were dragged from one place to another place to another place to try and get food, what kind of self-image do you think that would portray as you grew up? You might be an overeater. There might be things that affect you. Why? Because its self-image is that you will never get food. Or maybe taken from you. Well, but what's behind that? Fear. Remember, fear is behind all of it, no matter what. Because fear is what produces the self-image of the offspring of darkness. Love produces the self-image of Christ. In Psalm 139, in verse 13, glory. Psalm 139, in verse, what did I say, 13? Would you read it with me? For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love this. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. Now, I want you to look at something here, because we are going to begin to counteract this. In other words, the healing process of this, the freedom process of this, is to begin to express I am. I am is the area where it promotes a new self-image. Why? Because when the Lord expressed himself to Moses, Moses said, man, who am I going to say that? He says, I am that I am. In other words, that was who he was expressing and who he was. The way we are going to free ourselves from these areas is to begin to express and a counterattack in the area of I am. In other words, if you're sick, I am healed by his stripes. Are you with me? And we'll go over this. Why? Because not only you say, well, I'm healed by his stripes. No, I am. It's going to bring a self-image. When circumstances begin to happen in your life, when you're seeing yourself react in the area of the old man or the, because it's promoting the old self-image, in other words, that habit of responding all the time in anger, you see something every time. Remember, there's, what are you going to do? Wait a minute. Who told me that and where did you come from? Now you're going to search out, because every one of these is associated with a person, a place, and a thing in your life. Every one. So you're going to search out, okay, and you're going to go back and you're going to find out who, where, and what is causing this to portray my self-image according to that belief system, which is unhealthy. Then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to change it. And I'm going to say, I'm going to, first of all, repent. I'm going to repent, Lord, forgive me for accepting that. I'm going to apply the blood of Jesus. I'm going to forgive who's ever involved. And I'm going to sever myself in the name of Jesus from that person. I'm going to forgive that person, right? From that person, I'm going to sever myself from the emotional attachment of that place and the emotional attachment of that thing. Let me give you an example. Paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia, needles and stuff like that. Pill bottles. When somebody sees a pill bottle, they begin to, it brings them back. Why? Because that's an emotional attachment to that thing, isn't it? What does it bring it back to? It brings it back to the person they were involved with, whether there's fear there of them finding out. How much, or the people that they hurt in their life because they left and betrayed and so forth and hurt families. And then the place. So what we're going to do, are you all understanding this? See, as things begin to happen, do not just let them slide by. You must grab hold of it now. You must be sensitive to it now. So you go to somebody's house and you use the bathroom and there's a pill bottle there. All of a sudden thoughts become. What about music? Man, you walk into a store and you hear this music and all of a sudden you find yourself beat bopping to it. Oh, and it brings you back to a person, people, place, things. What are you going to do? Repent? If you were abused or whatever, or if it's just an area where it's ungodly relationships, you're going to repent for accepting it. Right? You're going to apply the blood of Jesus. You're going to put that bloodline between yourself and them. And you're going to sever every emotional attachment in the name of Jesus. Because, now listen, every emotional attachment has a spirit also. Why? Because demons get fed by emotions. So where there's an emotional attachment, there's a demon there. And he's utilizing that to get fed. So when he says here, I love this, he says in verse 14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So you've been beat down. You've been told you'll never amount to anything. You're worthless and useless, right? What are you going to say? I am fearfully and wonderfully made, bonehead. And he's going to say, no, you don't you remember how you reacted then? I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. And all things are brand new. I am a child of the Most High God. I am more than a conqueror. Every area where there is the one where you're being attacked, you're going to give the antidote of I am. I am. I am. I used to have dreams of that. After being saved about 5 or 6 years, I used to have dreams. I'd be in a courtroom and things would be happening. I'd say, I am a child of the Most High God! And the whole place would look at me. Don't talk to me that way! I am! Don't accuse me that way. I am. See, when you get there, all heaven's behind you. When I got saved, and I had a mandatory, I got busted. I mean, I got busted and then I got saved, okay? Let me explain that perfectly well. Well, when I got saved, I got busted too. I mean, the devil got busted, right? Hallelujah. And I had to go to court on a man, because I had a life sentence once. So I had to go to court. Here I got busted, guns, whatever, dope, bodyguard, limousines, whatever. And I had to go to court. And I had a minimum mandatory 4-year prison term that I had to do. There was no way out. And I kept telling my public pretender, that wasn't me. I think he wanted to send me for a mental, physical thing, you know. I kept telling him, after I got saved, man, that wasn't me. I'm telling you, that was my body in the car and did all that. But I'm telling you, I am a new creation in Christ. And I said, let me just explain this to the judge. He was like, shut up. I'm telling you, I wanted to stand before the judge and say, Your Honor, I understand my fingerprints are still the same. But I am a new creation. That was not me. That wasn't me. I'm brand new. I'm telling you, I am a new creation. That wasn't me. I want you to know that I did not go to prison. I got probation. And then they cut me loose in 2 years. Because, see, that changed my whole belief system. I was no longer in the image of who I was and what the enemy portrayed me as. I was now in the image of my Father, His Son, the Christ. When people say, you Italian? I say, no, I'm Christ. Why? Because my blood no longer runs from a natural family. My blood runs from the throne room of God. See, but if you don't believe it, heaven can't be behind you. Do you get this? So when things begin to happen and you're seeing the old man react to something, find out where, who, and what. And don't let it just run away. Don't put it under the rug because it ain't gone. There's a reason why you reacted. I used to, because I was an abused child when I was younger, I was beat up, thrown outside and all kinds of stuff, you know. So there were areas where when I would get angry, I would see the person that was beating me up, abusing me. I would see that person in me get ready to do it to somebody else because I had that self-image. And I always made sure that because when I was in the world and that my other daughter, I would make sure that I wouldn't touch her. Because I never wanted to get that angry to do to her what was done to me. But when I would get angry, if I had gotten fights or something like that, I would see the abuser that abused me and I would abuse that person. It would bring that anger in me because of the old self-image. Then I had to begin to break these things off. But when Jesus showed up on my life, He said, here, son, take this sword. It's the Holy Ghost bazooka. And turn around and kick butt. I've given you everything to free you. Now use it. Use it. See, people don't use it. They're too stinking lazy. They're waiting for Jesus to do it all. When He did it, but He gave it to you. See, even laziness, couch potato-ism. Those are lazy mites. They're waiting on God in front of a TV with a bag of popcorn and chips. They better be careful. God may come right through that TV. And they may become a fried potato. See, but that was a self-image. You know, I remember growing up and my dad would say, well, go to church. And he'd sit in front of the TV, watch the football games. Ooh, I couldn't wait till I can get older to do that too. And then well, I was married at the age of 17 and yeah, you guys go to church. I'll sit home and watch TV and, you know, watch the football games and bookie and whatever else. Why? Because it was that self-image. It was an ungodly, unhealthy. And those were all emotional attachments. You know, after I'd gotten saved, I would not watch nothing to do with any of my past. Especially all those Italian movies. All those gangster movies. Why? Because I grew up with that. It was you were honored if you could get away with stealing, killing. If you could get away with being a drug dealer. You were honored. That was the self-image I was brought up with. But the self-image when Christ came in, I didn't associate with anything with that no more. Why? Because I didn't want to reactivate any emotional attachments to them. Believe me, after I got saved, I locked myself in the house. And as I got stronger and stronger, as I was able to go do whatever God wanted me to do. But I spent time with God. I spent almost 4 hours a day with God. I didn't care. I didn't care if the house burned down. I didn't care about nothing. The only thing I cared about was pleasing Him. And then one day He said to me, all right, now it's time to take the closet with you. I said, where are we going? Get in the car. What car? The one you're getting, hallelujah. Would you read verse 14 with me? I will praise you, glory! For I am fearfully and wonderfully made and marvelous in your works. And that my soul knows very well. Does your soul know very well? See, he had a belief system changed. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when yet there were none of them. Oh man, that's enough to change your self-image right there. Look at oppression. How many people are oppressed? We talked about this before. It's amazing the drugs that they give people who are on oppression. One of the side effects is suicide. That blew my mind. Suicide. They might as well just hand out guns. Here, you're oppressed. Go kill yourself. No, they just don't know what to do. The secular world doesn't know how to handle people who are oppressed. They medicate them. They have no idea that it's a spiritual problem, an emotional attachment. And every emotional attachment is an associated spirit. Because why? They get fed by emotion. Let's keep going. This is good. Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Come on. I know some of you, you're going, oh Lord, I mean, you know, what are your thoughts towards me? And the devil's telling you, he hates you. You never do anything right. You don't pray enough. You don't read enough. You don't praise enough. You don't do this enough. You don't do that enough. Nobody loves you. Nobody likes you. Sounds like the witch from the Wizard of Oz, you know? See, that's how he plays. What's he doing? There's still an emotional attachment somewhere that needs to be severed. Every area. Oh, glory. Verse 18. If I should count them, come on. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. This is his good thoughts towards you. When I awake, I am still with you. Glory. Oh, that you should slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty demons, O men. What's he doing? He's exposing emotional attachments. For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? See, too many people do not hate evil. They pet it. They play with it. They never sever themselves from the attachment of it. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my, what? Anxieties. What's anxiety? It's fear, isn't it? See, he knew what was behind it all. Fear. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life. Oh, praise you. Expose the anxieties, he was saying. Come on, get rid of those. Everything associated, every emotional attachment which is associated with fear. I am because he is. I am the offspring of the Most High God. In Ephesians 6, would you go there? I am prosperous. I am out of debt. I am. Ephesians 6, everybody there? Don't let the devil keep pushing you around. Expose him and kick him. Sever. Bam. Get rid of it. I am. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being what? Watchful. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, the sword of the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that there's a two-edged sword, isn't there? And I want to share something very powerful, because Jesus said something. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the one side of the sword is out of the mouth of God. The other side of the sword is out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. That's why you're going to start doing an I am-er. I am glory. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. I am. So once you kick butt on the devil, right? Once you turn around and you see these reactions and so forth that are bearing ungodly fruit in your life, there's a reason why. Who told me that? Where'd you come from? And you search it. And you're looking for place, people, and a thing. If a person it's abused you, hurt you, offended you, whatever, you forgive them. But you repent for making covenant with it. Because you agreed with it. How many times have you been to the doctor and he says, you got this, 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 and that? And you went, oh, I'm going to die. You just made covenant, and you're going to die. I remember when I busted my leg up, and they told me I couldn't walk for 4 months, and all kinds of stuff. I let them talk. I didn't say a word. I left the doctor. I broke all that stuff. I break everything off in the name of Jesus. The fact is, my leg is busted up. The truth is, I am healed. Then he healed me. Instead of waiting 4 months to walk, I walked in 2 days. And I was healed. Most of you were there and saw it. Oh, hallelujah. In Hebrews 4, glory to God. In verse 11, is everybody there? Glory. Come on, let's read it. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let us enter that assurance. lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Wow. Hebrews 3, let's go back. Verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Turn to Proverbs 7, please. Here are key principles. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Are you ready? I want you to underline these principles. He says, my son, keep my words. Underline keep or highlight it or something. And treasure my commands within you. Treasure. Underline treasure. That means store. Store it. Treasure means store. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. I want you to underline bind. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I want you to underline write. So, my son, keep my words and treasure or store my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. We talked about sight, right? Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. Key principles. Keep, store. What's the other one? Bind and write. Right, those are key principles that you want to utilize with the Word of God. Why? When you are attacking or counterattacking. Because you're going to use a what? I am with the word. I am with the word. Right? I am prosperous. I am a priest. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I am grateful. I am healthy. So when somebody says something to you, whatever, don't accept it. Well, man, you can never do anything right. I am his workmanship. Jerk. No. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're not religious? In Matthew 7. Come on, you know you think that sometimes. You'd be standing in front of somebody and they'd be talking, going, what an idiot. But Lord, I bless them. So as you get around these religious people, ay, ay, ay. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, are you there? Beware of false what? Prophets. Beware of granolas who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. See, you're going to know the fruits. How are you going to know them? By your reactions. Okay, you know what? This fruit that I just reacted to is not according to God's will. Now, who told me that and where did you come from? And you're going to search it out because there's a place somewhere in your life that has been established by the wrong belief system has brought a wrong false image, and it has emotional attachments. What are you looking for? The emotional attachments that are triggering all of these things that are happening. Abandonment, rejection, all of those areas. You're going to go there and you're going to look for people. You're going to search what place and what thing. And you're going to sever yourself from it. Cool. And I'll go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse, 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth, again until what? Christ is formed in you. He's talking about the self-image of Christ. So the character and the image and the likeness of Christ is birthed in you. You know, let me share something with you. Adam was born in the image and likeness of God. Eve was born in the image and likeness of Adam, which was the image and likeness of God. But when they fell, their image and likeness of God was no longer. Because if you remember, Adam's first response when the Lord walked in the garden was, he hid. And the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, I'm afraid. He said, who told you that? Did you eat of such and such? So his self-image changed, didn't it? So when you and I were born into the world, we were born in the image and likeness of darkness, with fear and all kinds of garbage. And when you are born again, you are born in the image of Christ. Or maybe I should say more in the likeness of Christ, where the image is being processed. Are you with me? Because just because you're born again, now, born again comes by the Holy Spirit, and it's not just by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're saved by the seed of Christ. You're born again by the baptism of Christ. Are you hearing me? And we have a whole teaching on that. Are you saved or born again? Because it's the Holy Spirit that does the regeneration, doesn't he? What's he regenerating you in? His image. His image. That's why we go from glory to glory. See, so in this process, you are constantly severing yourself from the image of the world. And you're taking on the image of Christ. So now you're beginning to see yourself more and more like Christ. Now, can it happen instantly? Yes. And all things are possible. It happened instantly with myself. For about, after my encounter, when I was taken in the Spirit and after my encounter with the Lord, I walked in this planet for, well, I tried to walk on this planet for a while, but for about 2 weeks I was taken in dreams and visions every single night. And when I'd walk and I'd see someone, the Father's love was oozing out of me to where I didn't care how old they were. I'd say, my child, and I just want to hug them and love them. I saw myself no longer as the old person at all. I didn't have any more thoughts associated with that. See, that's being filled. When we say we're spirit-filled, we have no idea what spirit-filled is. That's the same thing when people are saying, I'm born again. Well, if you're born again, then old things have passed away and all things are made new. But there is a process. You're born again in his likeness, but his image is still being processed in you. But it can happen instantly. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. So right now, Christ is constantly being formed in you. These are areas where we're severing the emotional attachment so Christ can have his way in every area. Turn to Ephesians 4. In verse 17. Would you read it with me, please? This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, they should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now, what is the futility of their mind? The self-image of a Gentile. All right, does everybody get it? The self-image of a Gentile. What's a Gentile? A heathen. He's an offspring of darkness. Having their understanding, what? Darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling what they perceive, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Because their perception, what they feel, has been impacted by secular media, music, television, traumas, events in their life. And they've established a limited belief system, which has portrayed a self-image that is preventing them from going forward in Christ. But you have not so learned Christ, the new self-image. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old self-image. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, your new self-image. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. Why, that reverence, that fear of the Lord, of holy, who He is. Of who He is. That holiness. Remember, every reaction is an emotional attachment that is responding to a belief system expressing your self-belief, your self-image. Three unhealthy emotional attachments that impacted a limited belief system and self-image are people, places, and things. Every thought has an image or a picture that is associated with a person, place, or thing. Search out the reaction connected to the three areas of the picture and repent, forgive, break loose the emotional attachments. Apply the bloodline of Christ between you and these areas. Heal these areas with the sword of the Spirit, with the I am response. And become a new creation. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. Be sensitive to these things. Sever it. And you'll find wonderful freedom. Wonderful freedom coming. His image. Come on, you're all grave diggers, right? We're going to dig up the dead so they can come alive. Because too many people have been buried alive. And they're waiting on you. But we need to be freed up first. Because we wouldn't want to fall in the grave trying to dig someone up. Father, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, grant us the revelation and impartation here tonight. Grant us, and Holy Spirit, quicken us and bring to remembrance those things that You've taught us, that we may sever every emotional attachment and get rid of those spirits that are attached to them, that we may walk in the image and likeness and a new creation that You've created us, severing us from the old image of darkness and despair. Lord, I bless Your people and I ask that You visit them in a mighty, mighty way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.